On this week's episode, we discuss the Bonnaroo lineup and get really upset that we don't live closer to Tennessee. We also talk about the Gone Girl team re-teaming for an Alfred Hitchcock remake, and we pick the shows we are most excited for this winter. Welcome back to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino. With me as always... Actually, this is really weird. This is really weird. Why is this weird, Lucas?
Well, it's weird because I'm not hosting this week.
That's why it's
you
weird.
You know, I sort of gotten accustomed to my role as de facto host.
That's not why it's
and,
weird.
And, you know, I'm feeling slighted. Okay. I'm feeling like you just kind of came back and took over the hosting role without really consulting me or Ryan.
That's not even remotely why I thought this was weird. I thought this weird because me and you are sitting next to each other, and we're looking at Ryan through a screen.
That's true.
This is weird.
And normally we have you, you know, like with your right headphones and like sitting against a wall. Ryan is ensconced in blackness
yeah.
right now.
It looks like he's just a floating head.
If it wasn't for his ridiculous pastiness, there would be no light in that room.
No, nothing.
I am illuminating my room 70 miles away from you idiots. Yes, it feels like, what's the expression? The shoes on the other, what is it?
Foot, I would think.
Oh, yes, okay. Right, I was playing that in my mind all this time. I couldn't think of it.
We can shut the computer down. He doesn't even have to be in the podcast. There's always that. We can call Dan. He's not that far away. We miss
now
you, Dan.
We can Dan.
Even though he tried to take the job.
You guys would miss me if I was not gracing my presence on this show.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, we have a great episode for you guys. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. But before any of that, this is another first in a long time. We're all drinking the same beer.
Ooh,
yeah. Ooh.
And you want to know why? It's because I was proactive and got the beer at like 2 p.m. and then texted it to the rest of you. And by the rest of you, I mean just Ryan.
Just Ryan, because I'm not buying my own beer.
Because you didn't buy your own beer.
What?
Or your own pizza.
Yes, that was a good pizza. But yeah, why don't you tell us what are we consuming tonight?
We are consuming a milk stout.
From?
Lancaster. Brewing.
Oh, nice.
Not necessarily the town, although...
It might be the town.
It is also the town.
Oh, nice.
Lancaster Brewing in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. In Lancaster, United States.
Home of the Lancaster.
Home of the Lancaster, which
wow,
of course is
Lancaster.
A specific breed of cow that gives off milk that is slightly creamier than a normal cow. And so that really lends itself well to the beer. Mm-hmm. None of that is true.
No.
They don't use they don't use milk in beer, as I was explaining to Al earlier. If they used milk in beer, the beer would go sour and you would die.
Too much of a surprise, yes.
They use lactose sugar, which is meant to give a slightly milky taste. It increases the body of the beer. It makes the beer a little bit creamier. So it can be featured in a milk stout where it's like heavy on the lactose sugar and you really want that milky flavor, or it can be used very subtly in the background in like a bigger imperial stout to like add some body or like a little bit of sweetness to offset bitterness. So this beer pours out pretty smooth. Like a thick tan head that actually goes away pretty quickly. Lots of smells. Good smells. Milk smells. Like milk and coffee, which is just great if I took milk in my coffee. I usually drink it black, but every once in a while.
It's a wonderful analogy.
That wasn't an analogy.
It was, kind of.
Is he reading a cue card?
I think so.
But he's not actually saying anything. So.
Listen, I have one job on the show, and that's to do the beer. Don't take it from me.
Continue.
This has my name on it. I forgot it, all right? I'm just reading what's on the card.
Keep going. The Lancaster Milk Stout is really good. I like it. It's a little bit thin, and not too thin, just thinner than I was expecting. Maybe it's because I'm so used to drinking, like, nitro milk stouts,
mm-hmm.
where you can almost, like, chew on the beer. Like, it's like so thick that you just kind of drink it and then you just start chewing reflexively because it's very thick. This almost kind of tastes like a more bitter porter. Like a porter body that has stout taste. And like a slight milky fullness. So it's good and it works. But I guess I was expecting something a little heavier. Which, I mean, although it's a pretty light alcohol content. So I don't know. I don't know what I was really expecting. I don't really know what I was expecting. I saw it, and I figured, like, it's got a picture of a cow on it, so the milk must be featured pretty heavily. And actually, I'm going to take a quick sip. Yeah, it's, you know, you get that stout in the beginning, and then once you swallow the beer, you get like that milky finish, which is just great. So even though it's not like a really heavy stout, it's still pretty good. Ow.
It's good. I'm not gonna deny it's good, but the only problem is two problems. One problem is with you, but I'm gonna get to you second. The first problem is, yeah, I was not. I see stout. I see a milk stout. I'm like, this thing is gonna be so good. It's gonna have so much flavor, and it's gonna be like a thick stout because it's winter, and that's what you expect. You're not expecting a light beer. I can have this in the summer. Like, this is like an actual like sessionable, and I know you hate that word, but this is very like I can drink this. I can probably drink this whole six pack, and probably not feel that drunk.
I think you'll feel full before you feel drunk. It's the same thing when you had those fat sandwiches. You were like, oh, I could eat three. I could probably eat like two. Oh my God, I want to die.
Yeah, before I had finished the one, and I don't think I even finished it. I did finish it. It was glorious. But anyway, I think this is just a really light stout. And here's my problem with you.
Okay.
You compared this to a porter. How dare you? Porters have so far have been my favorite beers that we've had on the show, and usually they're full of flavor. They're not chewy. I don't know that analogy that you said. I never chew a beer.
Well, you're missing out.
I don't put it on ice
Chew on
and
the
chew it.
glass a little bit.
Well,
Yeah.
I don't mean it's like a
No,
porter taste. I
I
mean it's like a
know.
porter mouthfeel to it.
No, because the porter mouthfeel has more flavor. This is like when you first have it, like the smell.
Mouthfeel is different from flavor. Flavor is one thing, mouthfeel is another thing. This has a very thin, not very thin, it has a thinner mouthfeel than I'm expecting.
That's what I'm saying. No, but no,
Right.
going on what you're saying is this is a thin mouthfeel for a stout, but also for a porter. Yeah. I've never had a porter with this thin a mouthfeel. And I hate saying mouthfeel.
But the
It is
thing
the
is that
worst
this,
it is the worst phrase ever.
I think you have no idea what you're talking about because
Honestly, might be true.
I've never had a porter that has been this thick of a mouthfeel. You
But this is
this
a stout.
right. So that's when you're saying that this is thin for a porter. It's not thin for a porter. It's thick for a porter. But it's closer to a porter than it is to a stout. And the only thing, the only reason I say that is because I think my expectations were something different.
Going back, not comparing any of the crap that you just said, but I just wouldn't even compare this to a porter. I think this is just a really thin stout.
In a bad way or a good way?
I still don't know yet.
Okay.
Because it's good. I like it. I like the flavor, but at the same time, it's not remotely what I expected. Rye?
Al Lucas, I'm just gonna go ahead and take Al what Al said and just put that in the null and void section, and I'm gonna say this kind of took me off. I was expecting something different. When he texted what to get earlier, I was expecting obviously something a lot thicker, fuller, creamier, richer. This it really did set me off balance a little bit. It was a bit thin in the mouthfeel. I noticed that instantly. And it was just what I get from it. It's a nicely, slightly carbonated sweet stout to have, I think. And it gives you a slight sweet milky chocolate aftertaste, which I thought was nice. But the dark roast was nice. What I got from it was also a nice blend of chocolate to coffee. That's what really kind of got my attention. It's not bad, because I think if anyone's listening to this, they're thinking that we think it's bad. It's not bad. It's definitely something that I did not expect. It was a little on the watery side, but it's not a bad thing. Like I said, there's so many tastes hitting you at the same time. There's the roast, there's the chocolate, there's the sweet caramel notes a little bit you're getting in there. It's a beautiful concoction, but it's not heavy at all. So it's I will agree with Al though. You don't have to have this in the winter, I don't think. You can have this in the fall. Even on a weird summer night. I don't know, it's like maybe weird to say, but overall, It was a nice choice. I'm glad I had it. I like it that I didn't expect what I got. And I'm still drinking it, so that's also a good sign. Back to you guys.
Plus, it's the only thing in front of you, so I don't think you're going to stop drinking it. The last thing I'll say before I know
Lucas
is
going to
say something. I just want to keep stopping from him from talking. It's kind of like your cider that you made. And not because it doesn't taste like your cider that you made, but it's you wanted to make something.
Mm-hmm.
And something else completely different happened.
Right.
That's what this is. This is we saw it or you saw it and you like oh
in my
I,
mind
I, in
had
my
a...
mind in your mind you're like oh it's a milk stout this is gonna be what I think it's gonna be
mm-hmm.
and then you get it and it's not even remotely close to what you thought it was gonna be.
Well, no, okay, so you're using terms like not even remotely close. It is pretty close. It's just that...
God, Lucas is just hating on Al tonight.
Because he's next to me. He could.
I do want to say one thing real quick. Ryan brought up three really good points.
Wow. That is a record.
The chocolate coffee combo.
That never happens.
The chocolate In coffee anything. Combo was great. Love it. And especially like after you finish the beer, that coffee goes away and the chocolate comes out. So like... The beer continues to drink as you're done drinking it. So like once you stop drinking, you don't drink this beer drinks you.
Because that's a thing.
The second thing is a little bit of sweetness from the lactose.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. The last thing is the carbonation, which is an excellent point, Ryan. I was not going to bring that up.
Oh.
This beer is perfectly carbonated
mm-hmm.
to bring out all of the subtle flavors in the beer. And by perfectly carbonated, I mean not that carbonated.
It's slightly,
it's yeah. Yeah, slightly carbonated. It's totally perfect. And that really helps you bring out the different flavors. I really like it. It's not what I was expecting. I'm going to have to go home and buy a beer that I know is much thicker and heavier.
I'm just going to go home and just sip on some mud.
Some 10-50.
Some 10-50, yeah.
Some motor oil, yeah.
But I do really like this. And like now knowing what this is, I can better utilize its flavor for like the spring or like even Ryan said, in the summer, because we live near the shore. It gets cold on the beach. Like the temperature kind of drops more than you'd mm-hmm. expect, especially if the wind's coming off the water. This would be perfect for that.
Would you cook with this?
I would not. Oh, you know what I actually would do with this? I wouldn't cook with this. I would bake with this.
Ooh.
I would combine this with confectioner's sugar to make a sweet coffee icing.
Ice.
For perhaps a dark fruit strudel.
Pull that out
of
your ass right there.
You're making me very hungry over here.
Like a raspberry strudel topped with a milk stout icing and a small scoop of coffee or chocolate gelato.
Stop. I want you to make this right now.
I think would be phenomenal.
I'll do the rest of the podcast. You go make that.
So overall, I would give this beer maybe a 7.5 out of 10.
I was going to say 7.
5, you know, 5 being a completely average run-of-the-mill beer. Mm-hmm. It's definitely above average, for sure.
Yeah, because I can have a lot of complaints about it, but at the same time, I'm really enjoying it. So,
but I am
not
enjoying it
at the
as
same
well.
Time. I love it. I love beer. let's get that out of the way. No, I'm. I don't know. I'm divided. I'm gonna say a 7. It's not gonna get a lower score for me, just because I still don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Rye.
Al, I'm gonna actually completely agree with you. I'm gonna give it a 7. I was not expecting it. There was half of me that was enjoying it, then there was another half of me that wished I got what I was anticipating. And it was a bit thin. I would have liked it a bit creamier and richer, so we'll go ahead and give it a 7.
Not bad. One of the first times in 10 years that we agree on something. Great. So that was the Lancaster Milk Stout.
Mm-hmm.
From, I guess it's
Lancaster Brewing in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Home of the Lancaster.
Home of the Lancaster. A cow that produces only milk stout.
Yes.
The small calves are very drunk. Actually, the veal that comes from the Lancaster cow is quite delicious. Because not only is it supple and tender, as veal always is, but it also gets you drunk. because the alcohol content of the veal is such that from the leftover milk stout in the system that it will get you drunk after four or five pieces of scallopini.
For people who are listening, this is not accurate in any way, shape, or form. Lucas, thank you as usual for your beer review, but please never teach anyone review. About the cattle industry ever again.
I'm a history major, not a bio major.
But yeah, so that was our fantastic beer review, and now we're going to go into our first bit of news, which is something I love talking about, mainly because I'm obsessed with music. For a time, I was the music editor of PopBreak.com. I most recently have changed to the managing editor of PopBreak.com. And
yay.
Thank you. Thank you, my one fan. Thank you, as you clap. But going back on the music editing, the reason I became the music editor and the reason I loved being the music editor was the festivals, music festivals. Last summer, I did one, two, three, four music festivals. It was amazing, especially the Governor's Ball and Made in America. They were the highlight of my summer, both of them. I had a blast. And now it's obviously January and not anywhere remotely close to the summer, but all the major music festivals are announcing their lineups for the summer. So the Governor's Ball has announced their lineup. I think Coachella, Hangout Fest, like the Jazz Fest in New Orleans, every music festival is starting to like roll out their lineups. And most recently, Bonnaroo, usually one of the biggest, has released their lineup. And I thought, what better way to celebrate the oncoming season than to talk about this very diverse lineup? And the good thing about music festivals is they are diverse. I don't know when this started. I really should look up the history of music festivals. But the great thing about it is you can be a fan of metal. You can be a fan of indie rock. Rap, and you can still go to a music festival and have fun because one or a bunch of artists in that genre will be there represented. Especially at something like Bonnaroo, they're huge, huge bands that are going to be there. So let's talk about. I just pulled up the list, and let's just talk about some of the headliners. Luke, while you're in front of me, we have Billy Joel. Billy effing Joel is going to be at Bonnaroo. That is insane. You got Mumford & Sons, Deadmau5, Kendrick Lamar. Right there, you got four different artists from four completely different genres. Florence and the Machine, Robert Plant.
And the Sensational Spaceshifters.
And the Sensational Spaceshifters. My Morning Jacket, Bass Nectar, Alabama Shakes, Childish Gambino, Hozier, Slayer.
You said it wrong. Slayer!
You got Slayer, Belle and Sebastian, Spoon, The War on Drugs, Ben Folds. Here's a great one. The Bluegrass Situation Super Jam featuring Ed Helms and special guests. Yes, Ed Helms from The Office is doing a bluegrass band. You get 21 Pilots. I believe one of my favorite bands currently, Royal Blood, is going to be there.
Against Me is going to be there.
Against Me is going to be there. You know, you got Jamie XX, AWOL Nation. It doesn't end. Bonnaroo has a huge lineup, one of the best. And the reason I just wanted to talk about it was obviously I'm excited. But let's talk about why I'm not excited. It's in Tennessee. We don't live in Tennessee.
No, we don't.
We live in New Jersey. And that's why I'm more excited for the Governor's Ball, for Firefly, because that's in Delaware. That's manageable. Tennessee is far from us, and they have one of one of the best lineups. It gets me upset.
I mean, I'm just upset at the festival lineup itself.
Why?
I mean, all right, so here's my thing. Festivals in the U.S. are geared specifically towards what is commercially successful, almost exclusively. You get occasionally Bonnaroo, which throws Slayer a bone and has them in the lineup. But by and large, festivals in the United States are geared towards indie rock and indie genres. So EDM, you'll have your EDM artists.
They have their own festivals. They have their Electro Daisy Carnival, the Tomorrowland, the what is it, not EDC. I can't think. Electric Daisy Carnival. Tomorrowland. It's another
Well,
big
so
one. But keep going.
everyone has their own festivals, like the EDM festival, the indie rock festival, the hipster lumberjack festival, and then they all come together to play at like Bonnaroo, and there's like a whole bunch of stuff. But you know what genre is specifically and noticeably absent in having their own American festival?
I'm guessing it's metal.
It is metal, Al.
Hair metal, yeah.
I mean, we do have Death Fest in the United States.
What about like Mayhem or Uproar or like those?
It's not, and like I know it's not the same thing for two reasons. It's not the same thing because there's not a huge following for metal. So like when people look at Bonnaroo, not only does Bonnaroo have like the name attached to it, like oh everyone knows what Bonnaroo is, but like everybody knows who Mumford and Sons is. There's the band with the washboard and the acoustic guitar that sings about shit. So like everybody knows them, and so these are names that you can latch on to. But my point is that where festivals here are majorly geared towards who's commercially successful, I wish I would see more festivals that were geared towards specific genres. So like a metal festival wouldn't be 20 bands that are really popular and then Slayer. It would be, bands that are legendary in the genre. So like in Germany they have Wacken Open Air Festival, which is 4 days of heavy metal, and it's just everybody's there. If you can think of a heavy metal band that has somewhat impactful in the last 10 years, they're there. So I guess that's what I'm like kind of jealous about, is that everybody else gets all like Governor's Ball and iHeartRadio and all that other shit, but rock heavy metal doesn't really get its own. They get like these, which in my mind, to me as a metal fan, are like throwing us a bone. Like they're more trying to get us to buy tickets to the festival than actually caring about including the content. And that's all I have to say about that.
I can understand that. Actually, I was gonna like go completely against you, but usually it is geared more towards the indie rock and the EDM crowd because those are the two biggest festival goers. Like as like people are concerned, it's the indie rock hipsters like me, or wannabe hipsters like me, and then there's the EDM people who are crazy and just want to dance. Bonnaroo, Governor's Ball, Firefly, Coachella, V-Fest, oh, not V-Fest, the Virgin Mobile Free Fest, all these and more are geared towards these people because that's what they want to see. With Bonnaroo and, some of these other major ones like Coachella, they always like try to hit all these major marks. They have to hit the indie rock. They have to hit the rap. They have to hit the nostalgia every time. That's why you have Billy Joel. That's why you have Robert Plant. It's amazing that they have Slayer. And not because they're just throwing a bone, but what did we learn from South Park? Hippies hate
Hate
death
death
metal.
metal. Slayer's not death metal though, so they're in the clear.
But
Slayer's thrash metal.
isn't that the reason? Isn't that they don't they play Slayer in that episode?
They do, and that actually annoyed me,
Of course they
because
do.
Slayer's not death metal, they're thrash
Exactly.
metal.
But what I'm trying to say is it's hard. I mean, it's hard to incorporate everyone because you gotta like usually. All right, so Kanye West. When I went to Governor's Ball my first year, Kanye West was the main headliner, and I always thought, I'm like, who is gonna stay here for Kanye West besides people who like rap music? But when he made 808s and Heartbreaks, he kind of became an alternative artist, an indie artist, because he was making weird shit. So he crossed over. Not saying that Kanye is the reason that rap and rock are in the same spot, but it's more of you're gonna have that same crowd who's gonna be into Drake that might want to go see Deadmau5 or might want to go see Mumford and Sons.
How much are tickets to Bonnaroo,
Bonnaroo
usually?
is probably expensive. I know just because I recently looked them up. Gov Ball 3 days is $260.
Holy Jesus Christ.
Bonnaroo is 4 days.
So the last thing that I'll say before shooting it to Ryan just to get his impressions from the lineup is that, all right, so I'm a Slayer fan.
Yeah.
I've seen Slayer. I love Slayer. I wish I
Slayer.
could be
I
Slayer.
know.
I'm not gonna pay that much money to watch Slayer surrounded by a bunch of dirty, smelly hippies who don't like Slayer.
Yeah.
So, like, my point is that you're having Slayer there, but for the most part, it seems like you're only gonna be catching people who are already gonna be at the festival who also happen to like Slayer. I'm now looking at this and going, okay, Slayer's cool. Against Me is pretty cool.
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant. But I'm talking about just, like, metal. Like, all right, so I'm looking at...
But this isn't a metal fest.
I understand.
This is Bonnaroo with a mixed music.
So my point is that why even bother having them?
Nostalgia.
Slayer?
Slayer's been around forever. They're a notable band. It's Slayer. It's not like they have... I don't know. I don't know that many. I don't know that much in metal that I can say like an up and coming or a. All right, so like Royal Blood, is a
Exodus. Exodus is more relevant right now than Slayer is.
Okay.
Exodus just put out one of the best albums of 2014.
Yes, but here's the thing that you're not getting. You can have a metal festival that features all of these metal acts.
Mm-hmm.
Also. Stop being so pretentious in your genre and just accept that this is a cool lineup featuring all these awesome artists. It doesn't always have to go back to metal. It doesn't. Because
I'm not
that's
saying
not
it has
the
to.
Only genre.
What?
Yeah. Metal isn't the only genre.
Stop.
Read a newspaper. It's not 1982.
It's weird.
It's just
strange.
It,
all right,
so that whole
events.
Tangent was that Slayer seems weird and out of place to me there. I don't know why they put them there.
It could be nostalgia, it could be because they want to reach a different audience, but at the same time, Bonnaroo and people and festivals like it are trying to reach as much as possible. And the great thing is, guess what? While Slayer's playing, at the same time, Childish Gambino can be playing. Or Mumford & Sons. Meaning,
okay.
I'll
be at the front of the stage to go see Slayer.
Meaning at the other end of the festival is a completely different artist.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for example, last year. We had the Saturday of Gov Ball. You had Jack White closing out the show on the main stage, and on the other stage is Skrillex. Two completely different artists. Huge crowd at Skrillex, huge crowd at Jack White. Vampire Weekend the same way. The next day, Vampire Weekend, main stage, huge crowd, sea of people. Other side, Axwell and Ingrosso, the two guys that used to be in Swedish House Mafia. DJ, EDM, rock, indie, alternative. That's the great thing about festivals is you can see all of your favorite people in one, over 4 days. You can see all of your favorite artists or people you've never seen that you wanted to see. Plus, probably the lower half of the list is all people, A, you either never heard of or up-and-coming people that are about to play their first festival. Not first festival or, you know, or just getting out there. Becoming big, like Royal Blood, The Districts, who else is on here? Jungle, Grammatic, like these cool people. That's like that's the reason I'm excited to go. Like when I went to Gov Ball last year, Hunter Hunted was like one of the first bands I played. They're an opening band. They don't even have an album out yet. They have an EP, and it's so good, and they were great. They did a cover of Where Is My Mind, that end song from Fight Club. It was great. That's what I like about festivals. I don't go and say, oh man, they don't have enough metal. No. Oh man, they have a ton of awesome bands and awesome artists that I've never seen that I can't wait to see. Rye.
Hey, I'm still here. All right.
So we now shoot to Ryan. Ryan, pick a side.
Go.
Well, you know, honestly, when it comes to music... I'm more of
a... I don't listen to it.
I hear the noises.
Don't really get
actually,
it.
Actually, this is kind of funny, because Al actually sent me an old, what was it, Funny or Die clip, where it was like the onomatopoeia thing or something, like you pay like an absurd amount of money just to hear noises in a field and stuff.
The thing I just sent you today?
Yeah.
That's not new. That wasn't old, that was new.
Oh, I thought it was old.
No, it was new. Ryan's
just...
talking about is college humor, close, then Funny or Die. Close, but College Humor
die.
Made this video of every festival ever. Oh, it's hilarious. You're going to have to watch it after.
All right.
But keep
but
going.
I am not a skeptic when it comes to music or music festivals. I've only been to so many shows. And honestly, I find it appealing that they try to gather all the different aspects of music from the different corners. There's Lucas's hair metal, and there's Al's I don't know, like super indie rock.
There's actually no hair metal represented.
It's actually thrash.
It's actually thrash metal, just to make a distinction there.
Shut up, Lucas. All right, I have the microphone now. You sit there and be quiet and you drink this beer, which, by the way, is making me pee a lot. I don't know if it's making you guys pee.
You've gotten up like six times.
It's the milk from the Lancaster cow. Which, incidentally, was
that
present
goddamn
at the...
That cow is making me pee, and I'm going to eat it. So, anyway. I think it's, you know, you guys are saying how... Well, Lucas is saying how he doesn't understand why... But he thinks he understands why, like, Slayer's there. Just for example, Slayer's there because, you know, people were there for other music, and they just threw in Slayer because, oh, just in case, you know, some guy likes Slayer. I think it's just...
One guy. Thousands of people come. One guy. Just Lucas.
Slayer!
It's also in Tennessee, too. Like, how many shows has Slayer performed near Tennessee?
Well, actually, probably a bunch.
Quite a bit. I hate when you say that. I hate when you start off your sentences like that because I'm prepared to look like an idiot for whatever I say. So go ahead, Lucas.
Actually.
Do what you do.
No, I know what you're saying, Ryan, and you're making great points. And also, Lucas is wrong. Just about everything.
Okay. I disagree. I think you're a big jerk face.
To finish, though, I think... See, I'm one of those guys that does not see the problem in adding in just all these different aspects of music... different genres and stuff, so Al can say, like it kind of hits everybody, because you don't want to hit one type of music and have all these floods of people just, they're playing Vampire Weekend, let's go to the bathroom and do some blow and jerk off. They want to gather everybody at one point.
Actually...
Why did they go to the festival in the first place, you retard?
When there is that downtime, and like maybe like they're playing, like you're saying, like they're playing the different bands at once at different times, you know, to kind of keep everybody energized at once, so you can kind of bounce from one stage to the other, never get bored. I think they just kind of just, you know, tank everybody into one thing, just. And like Lucas was saying, like why would you have Slayer there? Just cause, so you can hit every aspect. And to me, I'm not a music expert in the least. I think that's, I don't know, I just go with that. I think that's such a good idea. I don't see a
why have Metallica headline Glastonbury?
Because Metallica is real life version of Death Clock. Metallica is more than metal. Metallica is like almost their own genre of music. They're so well known outside the niche community of heavy metal that they are bigger than one genre.
Maybe Slayer's trying to be that way.
Slayer has written the same song since 1981, and it's a good effing song.
Don't you love it?
I love it. I love almost every single song they've ever written. Because
when you saw the Big Four, weren't you more excited to see them out of anyone?
Okay, so here's my bias, is because I went to go see the Big Four, and I paid $260 for one ticket.
$260 for one ticket, and he complained that 3 days of music was the same goddamn price. Retard.
So I got there at 12 to get in line. I was first in line, by the way, at Big Four. The show didn't start till 4:30, and I was in the pit from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. I did not move to go to the bathroom, do any blow, or jerk off. So your assertion is false. But yeah, Slayer played...
Where were you at? That's weird.
Anthrax, Megadeth, and then Slayer. And the coolest thing about Slayer was that the lights were down because they were changing between Megadeth and Slayer. And Slayer comes on, and they're heavy as shit. And they're just, like, playing really fast, and they're screaming, and everything's really angry, and I got punched in the face, and people were, like, throwing bottles and stuff, and it was awesome. And they finished their first three songs, and the lights shut off, and you realize that while Slayer was playing, the sun set below the horizon, and now it's nighttime. And that was the most brutal thing that I have ever been a part of. Slayer caused blackness. Slayer caused the night to arrive. You may argue it was the subtle rotation of the earth. I disagree.
We're going to end the music section of this podcast on that sad, pathetic story. about someone who spent $260 on one day of terrible music.
Technically, it was 2 days. I was there till 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's true. But no, I'm nothing against any of the bands that you saw. It was probably awesome. I just think you need to broaden your horizon and also acknowledge that this is a really cool lineup because it's so diverse and it features someone. Honestly, if you took Slayer out of the equation, there would not be any form of metal.
Against me. They're really good.
Are they metal?
Yeah.
All right, so you got to be against me. Shut up. You got two people, man. Not a lot of people can say they have two people in Bonnaroo in the same genre.
Yeah. Literally everybody else.
Who?
All of those bands are the same genre.
Does Billy Joel have another someone else in their genre?
Billy Joel is the piano man. He's his own genre.
Exactly. Shut up. But
it's two genres are there. It's the Mumford & Sons genre.
No.
And the Deadmau5 genre.
No. I want to hit you for two reasons. One.
Sorry. Deadmau5.
Yes. That's the one reason. And the other one is you got rappers. You have hip hop in there as well. You got Childish Gambino.
So you have three genres.
You got Run the Jewels. You got G Easy. You got folk rock. You have indie rock. You have
it's all indie rock. Man.
It's not all indie rock. Shut up. Anyway.
Jesus.
Moving on to something else. We're going to go into...
Stick a bottle of your Lancaster milk stout in five seconds.
We're going to go into movie news.
Fresh off their success of the hit flick Gone Girl, Ben Affleck, director David Finch, and Gillian Flynn are teaming to take down one of Alfred Hitchcock's most beloved, most classic titles, Strangers on a Train. As I said, they're fresh off their success of this year's Gone Girl, which was a sleeper slot. It was like a slash sleeper slash not. It was like a runaway success. It was a really, really, really it was actually my pick for the popbreak.com. If you ever look at that, you'll see that was actually my favorite movie of the year. I thought it was very well done. I never read the book, so it was a great story, well written. Just such an easily just engrossing film that just kind of just took you and just took you on this wild ride. So when news hit that these three would be reteaming again, obviously, you know, it's a no brainer that it's a great chemistry, it's a great concoction for a masterpiece again. So this is great news to me. Obviously, if you are not familiar with the original, it dates back to all the way to 1951, which the original film it dealt with a professional tennis player who, I guess, wanted to get, a divorce. He meets a stranger on a train. And they pretty much just go over this whole thing of killing his wife on a train and getting away with it. Like, this whole thing, how it can be done. And they try to implement the plan, pretty much. That's the basic premise for it. Obviously, not much to it. Alfred Hitchcock was a master of simple yet effective plots, and you know what? If David Fincher's in on board with this, then it's going to be a sure home run hit. I have no doubt about it. This is exciting news. It just broke. I just learned about it today, so I will direct it to the two morons that I am unfortunately forced to look at. Lucas, Al, what are your? I know Al's seen the film Gone Girl. Lucas, you are. Under a rock, as you always
resident
are.
Resident shut-in,
so.
Lucas Jones.
Well, see, my answer in. My answer is very simple. I didn't see Gone Girl, so I have no idea how the Hitchcock film is going to fare.
Terrific. Al, what do you think about
this? Well, David Fincher is one of my top three favorite directors of all time, right up there with Edgar Wright and Billy Wilder. Wow. Let's try that again.
It sounded like you said a combination of Jeff Wadlow and Billy Wilder, so
I was trying to say Billy Wilder. All right, one more time. Well, David Fincher is one of my top three favorite directors of all time, right up there with Edgar Wright and Billy Wilder. I've loved every Fincher movie I've seen. Gone Girl was so good. Gone Girl was one of the best films of the year. It was both completely anti-Fincher, and at the same time he took the source material and made it his own. You know, it was the brightest, if I could say that, brightest David Fincher film ever, color palette wise.
I
it's
don't
in the
really.
daytime.
I thought actually the whole thing was
Oh, it was
totally
dark.
David Fincher.
It was a dark film. Don't get me wrong.
I thought the color wise, I thought it resembled strongly to Social Network and Dragon Tattoo. I thought it closely resembled those.
I would say closely more to Social Network, mainly because that wasn't filmed in a cave like the rest of his films. but yeah, but going back, Gillian, I think it's, is it Gillian or Gillian Flynn?
The world remains unknown. The jury's still out.
All right.
You say Gillian, I'll say Gillian.
Great.
One of us has to be right.
Okay, so the author of the book, the source material, usually they don't allow the author of the book to write the screenplay because it usually never works out. I mean, if you look at the Harry Potter films, J.K. Rowling does not write any of the screenplays when they adapt the book to the screen because there are two different types of writers. There's novel writers, there's screenwriters. So having her do it was pretty incredible. And in itself, pretty much worked to Fincher's favor. And then Affleck, great casting. He was phenomenal in it. And it's sad that he's going to get completely overshadowed by Rosamund Pike's incredible performance when it comes to the Oscars. Even though she didn't win at the Golden Globes, which we're not even going to talk about here because they're BS in every way, shape, or form. But anywho, having to remake a Alfred Hitchcock film is not new. We saw it with Disturbia, Shia LaBeouf, a couple years ago, remake of Rear Window. Just having Fincher involved is amazing. You get the bonus of the writer of Gone Girl and Ben Affleck. I'm sold. This is going to be an ace in the hole, a Billy Wilder film. Yeah.
Proud of you for making that wonderful connection to Billy Wilder. I'm stoked about this. I'm completely, if it's going to take 2 years to see this movie on the screen, I will wait, and it'll be worth that wait because this is an incredible team. You can see already with the one film, it was a home run. And this next one is obviously going to be even better. Because
maybe I'll have seen Gone Girl by then. Two years is usually my window.
2 years from now. That's still not enough
time. I have seen a film.
You saw two. You keep saying a film, but you saw two films.
Well, I saw one film.
You saw two films this year.
Last year, you mean?
Last year.
No, this year I saw a film.
Oh yeah, you saw Imitation Game.
Imitation Game.
Oh yeah, but that film came out last year.
Well, whatever. I saw it this year.
You saw three films that came out last year.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got three now.
Got three.
That's fantastic.
New year, gotta reset the buzzer.
Yeah.
gotta reset back to zero.
Gotta hit the reset button.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, except everyone else in the world.
Yeah. I'm basically, you get to see Tekken.
Tekken 3. Or Tay 3 Ken. I don't even know how they were marketing that movie.
Tay 3 in. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited for Strangers, I think they're calling it, and I think they're switching the tennis player angle, and they're making Affleck a Oscar contender, which is not going to be hard for him because he's already won a couple of those. He's won a couple of them, right? Well, he won for
Oscars.
Argo. He won for Argo for Best Picture.
He won for Argo for Best Picture. He won.
He won Best Screenplay for Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, for G Will Hunting.
I feel like he should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. No, that was Robin Williams. He won that year.
Yeah.
All right. Regardless, let's get off Affleck for now. Let's move on to our last topic. Lucas is involved in this one, so you can get back in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to talk about not much TV news happened, mainly because a lot of TV shows are either coming back or premiering. We have a lot of they call this the mid-season. And we have shows coming back from their mid-season break, as well as mid-season shows premiering for the first time. So I figured that when I say I mean Ryan came up with the idea and I stole it, that we talk about which shows we're most excited about for the winter leading into the summer, where TV is a desolate wasteland.
Yeah, because of the outside. The outside gets really nice.
Outside.
You know, that place where door, I am yeah. when you guys are always watching movies, I'm not out.
Oh, shut up, Lucas. You're inside working.
That's I don't know what you're talking about with this outside nonsense. But moving on, we're going to talk about our most anticipated series debuting. Wow, I can't even talk today. Too much of this freaking milk stuff.
Too much of that milk stuff. It's that Lancaster cow starting to catch up to you.
Goddamn cow. What series we're most excited about for the winter? Ryan, start us up.
Spin that shit. Well, there's a ton of good stuff coming out this month.
You have one
next month.
Pick. Go.
Well, that's a horse of different color right there.
You have two words. Use them wisely. That's one. That's okay. Two. Moving on.
As I said, there's a ton of new shows coming out. As Al said, a few of them are in their final run, their final season, which we will probably be, of course, shedding light on. However, I am switching my approach to a premiere, a show that has not come out yet, and it is Battle Creek.
I did not know you were going to say that, so now I'm going to steal yours.
What's Battle Creek?
Well, you cannot steal
mine
because...
He's going to explain it. Lucas just asked what Battle Creek was, and probably some of our fans, the three of you, probably asked the same question. And Ryan, tell us what Battle Creek is.
Well, Al, you are not stealing my answer because I am currently saying my answer, and if you say your answer after mine, you are a copycat, and I will kill you. So anyway... of the shows, this one it was a close contender with a few other shows, but this one speaks to me the most. Battle Creek, which stars Josh Duhamel and Dean Winters, or as you may know him as the what is it, the Affleck guy?
Whatever. No, it's not Affleck. I know what you're talking about.
State Farm.
Was
I don't
he
even
State
know.
Farm? Dean Winters.
The guy.
Dean Winters is Stargate.
No, the guy guy from the commercials where he's like Chaos.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, I'm your GPS. Recalculating!
Yeah. Anyway, he is fresh off his huge success from Henchman number 47 in John Wick. Yes, he was in that. He is starring alongside of Josh Duhamel. I've even seen Cal Penn in a few of the shots from this, but... It's two cops with a kind of opposing views of the world, kind of taking down crime, using their skills that they learned in the mountains. Their quick wits.
One of them just days from retirement?
No, they both look rather young. So
okay.
It's just
I feel like you're missing the big point of
I'm getting to it.
Get
I'm
to
getting
it,
to
then.
It. So it's these two cops, with opposing views in the world, taking down justice and everything from Battle Creek. In Battle Creek, apparently, it is a dangerous spot to work. What makes this so notable, it sounds like a very rudimentary plot that's been done 1,400 times. What makes it so notable is it is the return of creators David Shore, who is known for Law & Order and House, and creator Vince Gilligan, who is fresh off his masterpiece, Breaking Bad. The two have come together, and they are forming a cop show. And I don't even have to give you any more info, because just those two names, it's done right there. You know it's going to be something, you know, not obviously not beaten to a pulp. It's going to be something new. You're going to have rich characters with interesting storylines. It's going to be gut-wrenching, it's going to be tear-jerking, it's going to be cock-jerking, it's going to be so many jerkings in a row, it's going to be a masterpiece. So that is my pick. I think that debuts on March 1st, and I hope you all are invested in it. I hope you all watch the premiere, and is going to be rewarding on so many levels. Lucas, Al, I am done speaking. You must name your picks.
Luke. Archer.
Follow-up, please.
The premiere was good. I really liked it. I think the show has a lot of promise. It looks like it's retaining a lot of its subtlety from the previous seasons. They got rid of the Archer Vice, which I really liked, and it was like a nice little aside. But I'm glad they're back to the original format now, because it leaves the door open for other kind of little breaks in the season, which is cool. But yeah, I thought it was a really well done episode. I think there's a lot of room for character development as far as the Archer can provide character, yeah. If you want to know how I really felt about it, like the full story,
That's
you can
true.
head over to popbreak.com and check out my recap of the pilot episode, not the pilot episode, the first episode of the season,
Yes.
because I wrote about it on the internet,
With words.
with words. I actually sat down and watched something the day after that it aired because I was busy. But I did watch it and I enjoyed it. So definitely Archer. Keep your eyes peeled for that. Thursdays at 10 on FX.
All right, Al, you're last but not least. You're actually
Yes.
least, but keep
I
going.
was going to say Parks and Recreation, which premiered its final season tonight. And we say tonight and tomorrow and today and all these kind of things,
That's why
but
I said Thursday.
yeah, because it doesn't really matter because the podcast always airs later. So it aired Tuesday, which is weird, but NBC hates all of its shows and likes to change the dates of their shows 10 million times. So I was going to say Parks, but it already happened. I don't know why Lucas already picked Archer. But I'm going to pick Ryan's favorite show currently, which is Justified. It is the best show on television currently. People will say Game of Thrones. People will say True Detective, which isn't really an argument since it's going to be a completely different show. You can also say Fargo, going to be a completely different show. Game of Thrones is not consistent. Justified is the most consistent program outside of Breaking Bad
Ever made.
ever made. It's so good. Timothy Oliphant and company are making the modern Western. It is.
Raylan Givens is, of course, he is the coolest character to seriously have been made in the last 20 years. Like, I will be
Yeah.
completely honest.
Exactly, because other characters have faults. He does not. He is phenomenal.
He is flawless.
He is flawless. He is hatless maybe two times in the entire series. He is the best. I love Justified. I'm so excited for next week. And that's also on
Oh,
its final
God.
season, which is criminal, but at the same time, it will be just like Breaking Bad with a perfect series. You can't ask for anything else. You really can't.
Hey Al, I have some news for you, by the way. Apparently, when it comes to Justified, sounds like a teaser, but not. They plan on making a movie if Raylan is alive at the end of the series. If he's alive at the end of the series.
If. That's a
If.
big tease and a half. I hope he's alive. I hope they make a movie. I hope it's glorious. But that's going to end it for another episode of News Over Brews. You have our picks. You have Battle Creek, Archer, and Justified. Make sure you watch all of those. Battle Creek is on CBS. That's going to be airing very soon. We have Archer
Perfect.
on FX Thursdays. And then you have Justified, which is also on FX. We are big fans of FX, apparently. Ryan, what day is that?
For Justified?
Yeah.
It's January 20th. That will be a couple days after this podcast airs.
That's true. So make sure you watch those shows because that's our picks and our word is amazing.
Yeah, you may think that other podcasts are the law, but we are the law.
We are the law.
We are the law.
So that's gonna wrap it up. I'm Al Manarino. I'm gonna finish this beer and pass out.
I'm Lucas Jones, and I'm going to finish digesting the pizza that I inhaled,
I'm still not digesting it.
this beer, and then I'm going to sleep. Because sleep is awesome. And to be honest, this Lancaster Mule Stout is really starting to get to me.
It is.
It's not that it's any thicker, but it's that milk sugar, that lactose sugar,
Yeah.
and those Lancaster cows.
Goddamn cows.
Yeah.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I agree with my podcasters. This Lancaster is like that old ex-girlfriend that kind of teases you, and she does that thing where she kind of tries to piss you off, and you're like, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't bother me. But then it does bother you, and all of a sudden it's consuming your life, and then you want to do anything to get rid of it. But you can't. You got to go to sleep. You got to go to sleep.
Are you talking about an ex-girlfriend or your current girlfriend?
Oh, this is an ex-girlfriend. You don't even want to get me started about my current girlfriend.
Okay, because it sounded a lot similar, like you have a type almost.
They consume your life. They consume your life. You're not allowed to have anything fun.
I think that might just be the girls that you go after.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
This is Ryan DeMarco, over and out. Don't ever date. Don't get married. Don't drink Lancaster. Stay away from the cows. Do whatever you gotta do. Over and out.
On that note, thanks for listening.
Well, assuming she listens to it, this is actually a good test if she actually listens to it or not, because if she listens to it, if she's going to listen to, let's see, I've been recording for 1 hour and 5 minutes. Are you kidding me?